morning and welcome to our sermon series again that we're looking at. We're looking today at the book of Acts again, chapter 6 today. And it's really good to be able to look at this together and see what God is saying to us as a church and to us as individuals too. So it's exciting to do this. But let me ask you a question to begin with. What's one of the most difficult things you face as a Christian in this country? Well, it's certainly not persecution. But for most of us, one of the greatest battlegrounds that we face is simply reading our Bibles and praying. Or as some people would call it, a time of quiet or a quiet time. And it is, for most of us, a battleground. Because, of course, reading the Word of God, being close to Him and listening and talking helps us to grow in our Christian life. Because every day we need to be filled with His presence, with His power of the Holy Spirit, to live for Him. Well, of course, the devil knows this and wants to prevent it from happening. So how does it happen? Well, it's often by distraction. Some kind of distraction, maybe of our own making. It may be, oh, I'll just put the washing out before I read my Bible. Or I'll just look at the paper. Or maybe a telephone call interrupts. Or, well, I just need another coffee before I do that. Well, in chapter 6 here, we see distraction too in the early church. We have a problem that could actually distract the apostles from using their time and energy for the word of God and prayer. But first, let's remember what happened in chapter 5. We have seen attacks on the early church in the form of corruption, Ananias and Sapphira, by telling lies, being not of integrity. But we also saw the apostles in the same chapter, chapter 5, verse 18, they were arrested and put in jail. And in verse 40, the apostles were flogged. They were persecuted. So in the early church, we have corruption, we have persecution, and now we have distraction. The early church was under attack from the beginning, as so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ are today. And in others, the church is, many churches throughout the world, they're corrupted, aren't they? By power, by money, by sex. All these things that happened in the early church are happening now, today. So let's look at the problem here we have in chapter 6. What is the problem? There are two groups of widows. Of course, there's no social services. There are the Grecian or Hellenistic Jewish widows, and there are Hebraic Jews. They're distinguished by geography, by language, and by culture. It appears that the Hellenistic Jews were being overlooked in the distribution of food. It seems to be a justified complaint. The apostles didn't say, oh, just go and get on with it. But there are two main things that the apostles did. First of all, they knew their own calling and what God wanted them to do. And they resolved not to be distracted from it. Even if this other ministry was valuable and needed doing, the apostles knew what their calling was. So what about us? What do? When we have distractions or obstacles that get in the way of our time alone with God, reading His word, sitting with Him, listening to Him, talking to Him? Well, first of all, we have to work out what the problem is. What is the distraction? What is the obstacle that we face in having our time alone with God each day? And then, of course, we need to work out the solution. It'll be different for each one of us, but it's imperative for our daily Christian walk, because without it, we cannot grow or be the salt and light that God has called us to be. So I urge you, if you have a distraction or obstacle that is in the way of you having special time with God each day, reading His word and praying, do something about it today, just as these apostles did. They resolved not to be distracted, but they also found a solution. So the apostles came up with a solution. they were to choose 7 men to do the work of distributing the food to the Hellenistic, the Grecian widows. And what did they do? They didn't just go ahead and do it, they consulted the people. And we see here that the people liked the idea. And so what did the apostles do? They delegated the choosing to them. Now, delegating is crucial for the leadership in churches. As the church grew, more people would be needed to take on different roles to serve the Christian community. If you remember Jesus' words in Mark, he said, "I have come not to be served, but to serve." And all of us need to serve in some way. There are so many things and ways we can serve. Might be being a prayerful person, keep praying for everybody. Might be someone who can offer hospitality. You might have musical gifts. You might be able to clean or arrange flowers. You might be able to be an encourager. You might be someone who has pastoral care and is good at phoning up and following up people. Well, the list is endless. But we're all called to serve. The question is, do you know what service God has asked you to do? If not, pray about it. Ask God, what are you asking me to do in the church? And ask others too, maybe people in your home group, for advice. But you see, the people, the brothers and sisters, they chose 7 people to do this job, to distribute the food for the Grecian, the Hellenistic Jews. And so they chose 7, and they've all got Greek names, funny enough, which means, of course, if they've got that, they've got the language, they've got the culture, they know how to communicate with these widows, with this understanding. The apostles, of course, had to have people that they were able to delegate to, people who would be responsible and carry out the work well. And that's where you and I come in. We need to be able to be people who can be given responsibility. Each one of us in the church and the leadership know that actually we can do it and we'll do it well. Well, the apostles delegated, but they also gave guidance for their choices. They said, these people that you choose have to be reputable. They have to have a good reputation. They have to be full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. Well, this is God's principle. He calls us all to serve. He calls us all to be trustworthy and close to him, filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. It's interesting in the Old Testament when Moses is advised by his father-in-law to delegate and appoint more judges. Jethro says, you and your people, you'll wear yourselves out. Choose some people to help you. And this is what he says. Choose men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe. Very similar requirements to the choosing of the 7. And these requirements are for all of us who call ourselves Christians, as we are called to serve in the church. If you saw Songs of Praise last week, they celebrated 200 years since Florence Nightingale was born. At the age of 17, God called her to be a nurse. And famously, she worked during the Crimean War in appalling conditions. On returning home, she formed a nursing school and worked for another 50 years. And her idea of Christian service was this. She said that as a nurse, if you are carrying a sick bowl to a patient, do it with the same reverent service as a minister celebrating communion. What a lady. In other words, she followed the advice in the Bible, which says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. As children of God, we are called to serve. So let us fulfill the requirements by staying close to him. And how do we stay close to him? We stay close to him by reading his word, by praying, by having fellowship, by worshipping. And as these 7 did, as it's noted in verse 5, Stephen is singled out as one full of faith. It says this, Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And so what is the result? Yes, there was an obstacle, there was a distraction. But there was a solution found, and the apostles stayed doing their work of ministering the word of God and prayer. And so the result in verse 7 is wonderful. It says the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Wow, isn't that what we want for our church, the church in the UK and worldwide? So let us all pray that there'll be no distractions, no obstacles in our way. And let's make this part of our daily prayer. And then in verses 8 to 15, we learn more of Stephen. The second part of the chapter, verses 8 to 15. Just note, he's called to serve tables, distributing food. It reminded me, I don't know if you remember, when Danny spoke from Argentina. He'd been giving out food parcels because it was very difficult. There was no furlough in Argentina where people were helped out. So the church were walking out and giving food parcels to the poor. And as he delivered one parcel, he was invited in. And what did he do? Danny, the vicar, pastor at Salter Church, he shared the gospel and the whole family were converted to Christianity. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Well, Stephen here is similar, maybe even more, because in verse 8 it says he did great wonders and signs, miracles among the people. Wouldn't you love to know what he actually did? I would. I'm sure there were healings, maybe multiplication of resources. Who knows? But he did great things for God. He wasn't restricted by the role he'd been given. And no role should restrict you or me too, because God is sovereign and he will use you in any way he wishes, as long as we give all to him. Never try and restrict God. He is sovereign and it pleases him to use you for the extension of his kingdom. We heard a lovely account of a man years ago now who had very little education, but he'd come to know the Lord and he had a burden for Africa. He approached the missionary society and they said, not sure, you know, you don't really have the right qualifications. But eventually they gave him a work and it was a caretaker in a mission hospital compound, I think it was. Well, what happened? Guess what happened? He won more people to Christ than the resident evangelist, just as a caretaker. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's just a great story of God's sovereignty. But of course, we soon see what? We see opposition for Stephen. Wherever there is a work of God, really a work of God moving among the people, we will see opposition. And so poor Stephen, here we see opposition. First of all, it's from his own group of Jews, the Hellenistic Jews. First of all, they are arguing with him. But Stephen is full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And so they cannot withstand his wisdom. What does it say? They could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. The wisdom of the Spirit which was given to him. Isn't that great? And so what do? They can't win the argument, so they're going to try other ways. They will try other tactics. First of all, false witnesses, and then they kidnap him and bring him before the Sanhedrin. They know that the Sanhedrin don't like Christianity. We saw that in chapter 5, verse 33. They are opposed to Christianity. But it's interesting how these false witnesses misrepresent Stephen and twist his words. They don't tell outright lies because they know they won't get away with that. So what was it Stephen probably spoke about? We see more, of course, in the next chapter, which Alad will be speaking to us about next week. But he will have spoken about Jesus and the temple and Moses, but they changed it. No doubt Stephen said that through the death of Jesus, the temple was obsolete in the fact there was no need anymore for the sacrifices that were offered there. And he no doubt explained that Jesus had come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. But of course, the opposition is not unexpected. Whenever the gospel is declared, this is what happens. Words will be twisted, false things will be said, and this is what is happening here. But what about Stephen? Well, he's sitting there, he remains calm. And look, his face is like the face of an angel. Wow, isn't that wonderful? All these false lies, the seizing of him, bringing him before the Sanhedrin. And yet when they see his face, it was like the face of an angel. He is reflecting the glory of God. Wow. How do we react? How do we behave when we are opposed? Maybe even mocked by some of our friends for our Christian beliefs. Do we remain calm, peaceful? Does our face shine like an angel? Have you met people, as I have from time to time, and before you even know them, you know they're a Christian because of their face? We met one such man in Thailand. He was very disfigured through leprosy, and he played in a music group. But you know what? His face always shone like an angel. But for all of us as Christians, we should reflect the character of God and his glory. Does mine? Does yours? How do we do that? Well, the closer we are to God, the more our face and character will reflect the character of God. We need to keep close to him. We need to pray. We need to ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to live by his power. And we pray that among friends and family, colleagues who don't believe, our whole demeanour, our face will reflect the goodness, the kindness, the love and mercy of God. May each one of us serve in this way. And so, as the hymn writer says, brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. Amen.